Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd cast our eyes to Jesus this morning. Help us first and foremost to come and adore him, Christ the Lord, Christ who came, Christ who dwelled among us, Christ who reveals your glory and your goodness to us. We pray that you do this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Well, 2 months ago, King Charles and Camilla visited Australia, and not only did they visit Australia, they attended a church service on the Sunday that they were in Sydney. And there they are. They're at St. Thomas, North Sydney. It's a good, solid Bible-teaching church. Next to him, there's Kanishka Raffle, the Archbishop of Sydney. That's the Sunday school team, I think, and some of their kids. And when this happened, the media went crazy. Even Christian pastors were lighting up social media on the internet with comments like, "Guess who's coming to your church tomorrow? Imagine King Charles attending your Sunday service." And they were writing articles like, "When the King comes to church," writing a sermon message for the King. Well, imagine for a moment, King Charles attending your local church. Imagine him attending Hertford Street in your midst, in the flesh. Imagine being a welcomer, welcoming him. Imagine being a Sunday school teacher or kid waiting to see him. Imagine sitting behind him in the pews, sneaking to take a photo of his back during the announcements. Imagine at morning tea, all the people trying to grab a cuppa to give it to him, to have a chat with Charlie and Cam. Whatever your views on the monarchy are, I think you'd be starstruck. You'd be in awe. The King is in the building. Well, as we celebrate Christmas Day this morning, I think this is the sort of thing we celebrate in a much bigger way. Not just anyone famous, not just a celebrity, not a world leader, not even the King of the British Empire, but God. God, the creator, the ruler of the universe, God himself, God with us, dwelling among us in the flesh. So we read before in the book of John in the Bible, I'll read it again, John 1 verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." John's account of the birth of Jesus, it's a bit different to Matthew's and Luke. We read out Matthew's before. John, he goes back to way before creation. He talks in concepts, word, flesh, glory. But still, John, he presses in on the enormity of what's happening as Jesus is born. And on this joyous morning, these next few quiet minutes before our day gets drowned out, but by presents, by preparations, food and family, I want to remind us of this amazing truth. God dwelt among us in Jesus. God with us. The God who dwells in the heavenlies, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God ruling and reigning up high, the God who's the King of all kings. He comes down to us. What a mind-blowing truth we celebrate at Christmas. And there's three phrases in this verse that I want to point out this morning. The first phrase is the Word. What's the Bible talking about here? It sounds a bit cryptic, doesn't it? Well, as Angela read out before, the Word exists before creation. He was with God in creation. The Word is God himself. John 1, verse 1 and 2. The Word is the agent of creation. Verse 3. And the Word represents life. Verse 4. You see, John gives us this poetic philosophical description of this word. And he does this pointing up to God himself, this divine figure, God's Son, as we see later in verse 14, the only Son from the Father. He was present and active at creation. This is the word in John 1, verse 14, the word he's talking about, Jesus. And this word, God himself, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, which is the second phrase for today. Just like how King Charles visited a church in Sydney in the flesh, God himself on earth, he was on earth as a man, dwelling among us in the flesh. If you think for a moment about a place that you'd hate to go, that's the total opposite of you, that just doesn't fit you, that's not your natural or favored environment, that place that gives you the shivers thinking about, maybe it's camping rough, covered with sand and sweat, no showers, maybe it's the slums of a third world country, maybe it's a place overrun by war and bloodshed, maybe it's even Westfield Garden City over the past week. Well, consider this about God this Christmas, that God would dwell among us as a man in the flesh, that he up high would descend from the heavens of heavens, from eternity to finite, mortal, dirty, imperfect earth, from perfection and holiness to being with a sinful, unholy, rebellious people, that God up high would come down and breathe the air we breathe, to feel the humid, hot air, to walk the dusty and dirty streets of the earth. Author C.S. Lewis says this: the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. They say that God became man. In the incarnation, God the Son takes the body and human soul of Jesus, and through that, the whole environment of nature into his own being. The pure light walks the earth. Famous preacher Charles Spurgeon says this: infinite and an infant, eternal and yet born of a woman, almighty and yet hanging on a woman's breast, supporting the universe and yet needing to be carried in a mother's arms, king of angels and yet the reputed son of Joseph, heir of all things and yet the carpenter's despised son. God dwelt among us in the flesh. God the Son, the God-man Jesus Christ, born as a baby. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And we've seen this. And that's the third thing to know from this verse. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Christmas is a celebration that we have seen Jesus. The season, when you dig down deep, when you get to the heart of it, is about the birth of a baby, of Jesus in Bethlehem in Israel. The songs, the nativity scenes, even the word Christmas, a celebration of Christ. All of these point us to the fact it's all about Jesus. And the world, time, space, history, we have seen his glory. Our current society is trying so hard to replace nativities with Santa and Grinches and Christmas rom-coms. There's about 30 or 40 out this year, to replace carols with pop culture, lovey-dovey Christmas songs, and even to replace the phrase Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays. But even amidst this push, you still see the nativity scenes, you still hear the carols, and they point us to Jesus. We have seen his glory. If you think the carols and nativity scenes are just a fairy tale, think about this. Virtually every scholar and historian, non-church-going people, atheists, many who have later become Christians and believers of Jesus, they all agree that historically Jesus graced the dust of the earth. Again, we have seen his glory. I'm reading Tom Holland's popular book, Dominion, at the moment, and he's a non-Christian historian. And he says that the overwhelming majority of ancient historical scholars, including himself, agree that Jesus existed. And the Bible, God's word, gives us four eyewitness accounts to Jesus, pointing to his glory. Four real, trustworthy biographies of Jesus that are worth looking into and examining if you haven't done so already, because you don't want to miss out what's in them. Because all these writings, they point to what John says, we have seen his glory. And the glory of Jesus, it starts, as Ken mentioned, at his miraculous virgin birth that we celebrate at Christmas, but it keeps going, doesn't it? Including his perfect life, his atoning death on our behalf, his rising again to new life forever. And the glory of Jesus that we've seen opens up the way to eternal life. Life forever in a right relationship with the Creator God. We have seen his glory. So if we explored this verse this morning, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the obvious question after reading this is, so what? What do you make of Jesus being born? What do you make of his life, death, and resurrection? Well, as we celebrate Christmas this year, today, the food, the family, the presents, the holidays, take a moment, take the day to think about why we celebrate all of this. And consider the fact, either for the first time or for many of you, consider afresh this world-changing truth. God became man. God dwelt on this earth in Jesus, and we have seen his glory. So how should we respond? Well, I'd like to suggest two ways we can practically respond on this Christmas day. And the first is this, is to let the fact that God dwelt among us sink in. Some of the people part of St. Thomas North Sydney, where King Charles attended, they couldn't help but to be excited, gobsmacked, in awe of who was in the building. And this is what happens when the fact of God dwelling among us sinks in. Excitement, gobsmacked, in awe that someone so majestic, someone so up high would be with us, would grace our earth, would embrace our fallenness. So this morning, today, let the truth of God dwelling among us sink in. Let it grip you afresh. Let it drive you to be in awe, gobsmacked that God would stoop so low to us in Jesus. Let this excite and warm your heart today over any present or meal or family time you have. And the second response today is to consider why God dwelt among us in Jesus. Why? Why did Jesus bother to come to earth? He could have said, I'm in perfect heaven. I've got perfect aircon all the time. There's perfect people, perfect weather. Thank you very much. I'll stay here. But Jesus came. And he came not just for kicks. He came for a reason, a purpose, and a mission. Consider why God dwelt among us in Jesus. I've alluded to it before. He came to use Christmas words to prepare a gift for you. A gift that you and I need to accept. A gift that only Jesus can give you. A gift that Jesus came to this world to prepare. The gift of eternal life by trusting in him. You see, Jesus, he came to this world as a man. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He rose from death to new life forever in victory. And he offers all who believe in him, who trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, the free gift of eternal life. Just as John says a few chapters later, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, we've all seen his glory, starting at his birth, the incarnation, and ending in his death, resurrection, and ascension to rule in heaven. We celebrate this especially during Christmas, but each of us this morning has to decide on how you respond to Christmas and what you make of Jesus, God becoming flesh, dwelling among us, who the world has seen his glory. Well, let me encourage all of you this morning to let your greatest joy, your greatest excitement, and your central focus today to be Jesus. We celebrate God dwelling among us in Jesus. Don't just end it this day saying food, family, gifts are great. End this day thinking, wow, God dwelt among us in Jesus. And secondly, consider why Jesus dwelt among us to prepare you a gift, the gift of eternal life. And that's only found by trusting in Jesus. The Word became flesh. Let me pray for us this morning. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for reminding us on this Christmas morning that you visited the dust of this earth through your Son, Jesus, that time, space, history has seen the glory of Jesus, that he lived, died, and rose on high and gave us a way to have eternal life with you. Father, as our day gets filled with Christmas joy and cheer, may your Holy Spirit fill our hearts and fix them firmly on your Son, Jesus. Help us to be found in awe and wonder and joy and excitement, seeing Jesus as you dwelling among us, God the Son, God made flesh, to trust in him as Lord and Savior, to celebrate the eternal life that comes with trusting in Jesus, the Word made flesh. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.